Let's read together Genesis 22, verses 15 through 24. In this last section of Genesis 22, we have God's confirmation of his covenant with Abraham. We also have some information about Abraham's relatives. Genesis 22, beginning at verse 15. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Now it came to pass after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, "Indeed Milcah has borne children to your brother Nahor, Uz his firstborn, Buz his brother, Kemuel the father of Aram, Kesed, Hazo, Pildash, Jidlaf, and Bethuel. And Bethuel begot Rebekah. These eight Milcah bore to Nahor, Abraham's brother. His concubine, whose name was Rumah, also bore Teba, Gahem, Thahash, and Maacah." So background notes for this last section of Genesis 22. In Genesis 22, we have the supreme test of Abraham's faith. He was asked to give up, to sacrifice his beloved son Isaac. Abraham passed the test, even though Isaac was not literally sacrificed. At the last minute, God provided a ram for the sacrifice in place of Isaac. But God looks on the heart, you see, and God saw the reality of Abraham's faith, even to the point of giving up his son Isaac to the Lord. Well, you know, God looks on our hearts as well, and he tests our faith. We can pass the tests or we can fail the tests that God gives us concerning our faith. After Abraham passed this supreme test of faith, and even before he and Isaac left the Mount Moriah area, God confirmed his covenant with Abraham. In verse 17, God said to Abraham, "I will bless you, and I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies." You know, I was just reading this week a commentary on this passage in which the author, Dr. Henry Morris, made some rough calculations for the number of stars and the number of grains of sand on the seashores around the world. And guess what? Both numbers come out about the same, 10 to the 25th. That's one followed by 25 zeros, big number. The main point here, of course, is that Abraham's descendants would be innumerable, and that certainly has come true. The end of verse 17 says, "And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies." What does that mean anyway? Well, you see, the massive gates of ancient walled cities, these were the strong points of the city's defenses. And the gate of the city was where all the major decisions were made. So to possess the gate of your enemies meant to completely conquer your enemies. This prophecy certainly came true when Israel conquered Canaan under Joshua. Verse 18 is the wonderful promise of the coming Messiah. "In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." That verse is speaking of Christ for sure. We know that because Galatians 3:16 quotes this verse. I'm reading Galatians 3:16. "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, 'and to seeds,' as of many, but as of one, 'and to your seed,' who is Christ." And that's taken right from this verse, Genesis 22:18. It's a messianic prophecy. In verses 20 through 24, we have the record of the descendants of Nahor, Abraham's brother. Now you might say, why did God, by the Holy Spirit, have this included in the record? Seems to take away even from the main lesson of Abraham's faith being tested and so forth. Well, the main reason for these verses being included here is to show where Rebekah came from. She would become the wife of Isaac. Well, so much for our background notes. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for this last section of Genesis 22. Doctrinal point number one, blessing follows obedience. Blessing follows obedience. Why was Abraham promised such blessing in verses 17 and 18? Blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heavens, as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Why? Here it is, end of verse 18. Because you have obeyed my voice. When the blessings of the Abrahamic covenant were confirmed to Isaac in Genesis 26, again the reason is given. I'm reading Genesis 26 and verse 5, right after the Abrahamic covenant is confirmed to Isaac. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. When the Mosaic law was given, we read that God said in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28, behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today. And the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. Obedience is the key to blessing from God. Blessing follows obedience. This is a divine principle. Do you want blessing in your life? Blessing follows obedience. As an illustration of this principle, I'd like to read the results of a study made by the state of New York some years ago. This is known as the Jukes-Edwards study. New York State sociologists studied two families. The one was Max Jukes, and the other was Jonathan Edwards. As you know, Jonathan Edwards was a major force in the first Great Awakening here in America in the 1700s. Max Jukes was an unbeliever, a man of no principles, and he married a girl of like character. What happened to that family? Among the known descendants of Max Jukes, who was a contemporary of Jonathan Edwards, over 1,200 descendants were studied. 310 were professional vagrants. 440 were physically wrecked by lives of debauchery and uncleanness. 130 were sent to a penitentiary for an average of 13 years each. 7 of them were murderers. 100 were alcoholics. 60 were habitual thieves. 190 were public prostitutes. Of the 20 who learned a trade, 10 learned their trade in a state prison. None made a significant contribution to society. On the contrary, they collectively cost the state of New York $1,200,000. And that's a number of years ago. What about the family of Jonathan Edwards? He came from a good Christian family and he married a girl of like character. Among his descendants, 300 became clergymen, missionaries, or theological professors. Over 100 became college professors. Over 100 became lawyers. That's good. Over 100 became lawyers. 30 of them judges. Over 60 became physicians. Over 60 became authors of good books. 14 were presidents of universities. There were numerous giants in American industry. 3 were U.S. congressmen, and 1 was vice president of the United States. You see, even the world recognizes that the results of a faithful, obedient Christian lifestyle are far better than the results of a life that denies or ignores biblical commands. How much more should we as Christians appreciate this truth? Blessing follows obedience. Doctrinal point number 2. Confirmation follows obedience. Confirmation follows obedience. The covenant that God made with Abraham was established back in Genesis 12, at least 40 years before this time. Over the years, God had confirmed his covenant with Abraham several times, and it was an unconditional covenant. Its fulfillment was not dependent on Abraham's obedience. But because Abraham obeyed, God once again confirmed the covenant. What a wonderful experience that must have been for Abraham. to have the Lord personally speak to him and confirm his promises. You see the principle here? Confirmation follows obedience. And the same is true for us. The Christian life is a step-by-step walk of faith. How can we be sure of the steps? How do we know if we've made the right decision many times? Answer, be an obedient Christian in the big things and the small things. Confirmation follows obedience. God confirms the steps of faith of the obedient Christian. You don't have to worry about making mistakes or making the wrong decisions when it comes to job changes or moves or family decisions, as long as you're an obedient Christian. God loves to guide the steps and confirm the steps of the obedient Christian. I don't know how many times the Lord has confirmed our move to the Chicago area 22 years ago. We were in New England at that time. We wanted to stay in New England. But we believed that God was calling us to the ministry at Emmaus Bible College. And we obeyed the Lord in that. And you take that step of faith. Well, over these more than 20 years now, the Lord has definitely confirmed that step. Confirmation follows obedience. Are you wondering why God is not confirming your walk of faith at the present time? Are you an obedient Christian in reference to the big commands and the small commands of Scripture? Remember, confirmation follows obedience. Let's move on to the practical application. It's not over till it's over. It's not over till it's over. Now, that's not a verse in the Bible. It's a quote from Yogi Berra, former coach of the New York Yankees. He meant, of course, that the ball game was not over until out number three in the last half of the ninth inning. But we can apply that quotation to the Christian's life of faith. It's not over until it's over. That is the life of faith. It will be over when we die or the Lord returns, because there's no need for faith in heaven. The opportunity to live by faith is now, not then. Then it's over. But until that time, we walk by faith, and it's not over till it's over. In Genesis chapter 22, Abraham passed a giant test of faith. But that did not mean he no longer had to walk by faith, or that there would be no more tests of his faith. There were many more tests in Abraham's faith. In fact, in Genesis 23, his faith would be tested in reference to the death and burial of Sarah. Abraham would live about 40 more years after Sarah died. He would marry again and have six more sons. Read about that in Genesis chapter 25. Abraham had to keep walking by faith with tests along the way. His life of faith was not over until it was over. And the same is true in our lives. It's not over after some major test of faith. We sometimes, when we pass a major test of faith, kind of sit back and relax and think, well, it's over. No, it's not over until it's over. So hang in there and keep walking by faith. It's not over till it's over.